Blog Talk Radio.
This is Merle Exit with Merle with Merle. I'm here in New York City where it's 70 degrees. Well, in my home it is. Okay. I have a great lineup of guests tonight. Legendary folk singer Judy Collins is performing in New York at the Carlisle Cafe at the Carlisle Hotel. And she'll be talking with us first. Before she performs this evening. Then we got the New York Sharks wide receiver, Jennifer Blum, will be talking with us about her experience as a contestant on American Gladiators, which she was on the 21st. If you didn't get to see it, you could always click on and see the rerun, and she'll tell you the results and anything else. In addition, Jennifer has gotten her own exhibit at the National Jewish Sports Hall of Fame and Museum located on Long Island and will be part of a panel discussion this Sunday on Jews and football. Later joining us will be Alan Friedman, who runs the Hall of Fame, as well as sports broadcaster Barry Landers. But right now, we have Judy on the phone. Hi, Judy.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, just fine.
Great.
How's it going there?
Oh, well, it's wonderful. Sold out just about all the time, and for 6 weeks, that's wonderful. So we're having a great time.
That's great to hear. I have to tell you a quick thing, as I tell people, like, I'm having Judy Collins, and it's interesting to see the person's age, whether they know, you know, who I'm talking about, and I go, you don't know Judy Collins? And then I said to somebody, I think...
Where have they been?
Well, this was
living under a rock somewhere.
I know. That's what I said.
And you know, nowadays, my audience, of course, has always been very wide-ranged as far as age goes. But now all the kids are starting to listen, and I get fan letters from 15-year-olds, so that's terrific. So, you know, being an ageless and timeless performer has its benefits.
Yeah, well, when I said to one a friend that I called she's maybe 40-ish, and I said, you know, she's a folk singer.
We don't talk about age.
And I said,
you know, 40 is the new 15.
Right, but I said, folk singing. You know what folk singing is? She goes, no. I said,
well,
never
where has she been? Another rock.
That's what I say.
Listen, you have to get some. Yeah. Listen, you have to get some new friends. That's all there is to it.
I think so.
You have to broaden your range of associates. Hang out with younger people, younger in spirit.
I think so. Well, I'm almost reaching 60, so you know, like to me it was everything I grew up on. So
we never talk about age because that's not really the critical issue, is it?
No, not anymore. You know, I hang around with the New York Sharks all the time, and they're so much younger than I am anyway. But anyway, so this latest CD you have out. Tell me about this
The Lennon McCartney, which I'm crazy about. I've only recorded one Lennon McCartney song, which was In My Life, which I put on an album called In My Life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a good number of years since I've delved into their music. But I did an album called, of course, Judy Sings Lennon McCartney Songs, and got to do things like When I'm 64 and Yesterday and Blackbird and Golden Slumbers. Oh, beautiful, beautiful songs. I just chose the ones that I love.
Uh-huh. And any particular reason why right now that you picked them? Or just...
This is the third collection of one writer's, or in this case, two writer's songs. I did an album of all of Leonard Cohen's songs a couple of years ago, and I did a Dylan collection in the 90s. I'd recorded a lot of Dylan, and I'd recorded a lot of Leonard Cohen. And so this is sort of the third go-round of taking an artist that I really think is fabulous and focusing on just their songs, in this case, as I said, two writers. But they really form one persona. Their writing is seamless and extraordinary, and I think they're right up there with Rodgers and Hart. So that was why I did it now, because I wanted to.
Oh, I would listen to the CD. It sounds really great. And you
good.
You sound like you did years ago.
Well, that's what we're hoping. That's why I said you have to get some younger friends.
Yeah,
jeez Louise.
But then again, that person didn't know who Peter, Paul, and Mary was.
Well,
give me a break.
Give me a break.
That's what I say. Oh, well, you know, they're probably into hip-hop or something.
Well, I was compared in Vanity Fair this past year to Frank Sinatra. I don't think that's bad company. He's pretty timeless.
That's true. Oh, yeah, timeless. Yeah, that's it. Timeless is the key. Just,
timeless is the new hip.
Yeah. Are you? By the way, are you going to be touring?
I do tour. My life is a tour, my dear.
Oh, okay.
I've been touring since I was about 3 or 4 years old, so I've gotten
wow.
used to it by now.
Wow. What was like? Do you remember like the first song you ever sang in public?
Yeah, I'll be home for Christmas, but it's not the season for that yet.
Oh, okay. I think the most well-known song, the two of them, Send in the Clowns, I think everybody knows you for, and Both Sides Now, I believe, right? Those are like the two, like when.
Well, there are others, of course. There's
but like when you say Judy Collins,
think Amazing Grace, Send in the Clowns,
right,
Both Sides
right,
Now,
right,
Someday
yeah.
Soon, Cook with
yeah.
Honey. Turn, etc.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, as they're coming into my head, you know. So you'll be in the meantime. You'll be at the Carlisle until when? Is it March 1st?
I'll be here for 6 weeks, starting night before last. So
oh,
I'm here 5 nights a week.
Uh-huh.
One show 5 nights a week, and from Tuesday through Saturday.
That's fabulous. I'm so
and
glad
catch the New York Times today,
okay. Uh-huh.
The review by Stephen Holden, and see what he thought of it.
Okay, and maybe I'll also come to the show and I'll write up what I thought of it. I'm writing for like 10 publications right
good.
Now.
Good. That's
but,
wonderful.
This radio show is great, and it's nice so I can really, like, chat, like, you know, conversation. So in the meantime, tell me some of you, have you done any, like, any duets by any chance?
Any duets?
Yeah. Have you ever
Why would I do that?
Oh,
yes,
I
of course
know.
I've done duets.
Oh, well.
It's not my thing. Some people do that, and other people do other things.
Okay. Now, I was just wondering if there were any, like, performers that you enjoyed, especially doing a performance with or singing with or something like that.
Oh, of course, I've appeared with lots and lots of people. One thing that I'm doing this year, in May,
mm-hmm.
I'm putting out, I have my own label now, so I have a lot of wonderful young artists on Wildflower Records. And one of the things that I've done is to put together a tribute album of other people singing my songs. So soon in May will come, it all started because Chrissy Hynde loves My Father, the song that I wrote called My Father. So
right.
She's doing My Father. Leonard Cohen and Joan Baez are doing Since You've Asked. Dolly Parton is doing The Fisherman. Rufus Wainwright is doing Albatross. The other people on this are Bernadette Peters, Jimmy Webb, Dar Williams, Sean Colvin. It's a fantastic lineup. So it's all done, and it'll be out in May.
Wow, that's I can't wait for that. Well, I can't
Me
wait.
Me too.
Any of your singing is worth waiting for anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's so interesting to like when I'm hearing the album, and I go, wow, it's like. the voice hasn't changed. It's like the same
Good.
Recognizable voice.
Good.
You know, some people sound different, you know, as the years go by, and, you know, you've maintained that absolutely wonderful, angelic.
Thank you.
Folk singing voice that, well, that's what I kind of grew up on.
Like Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. So, by the way, what do you, like, your favorite song? Did you have any particular, favorite songs that may not have been, like, the ones that, you know, people like know you for, but you said, but they, you know, oh, I wish this became more popular or something?
You mean things that I've recorded?
Yeah, that you
recorded. Oh, sure, every single thing I've recorded. I wouldn't have picked it up and recorded it if I didn't think it was worthwhile.
Oh, what I mean.
But, you know, I've been recording for, this is my 48th year of being paid for doing this. So it's a long time, and I've done an awful lot of songs. I have to keep. That's why at the Carlisle, we're doing three different shows, because there's so much material to go through. So each night will be something different. So if people come back again, which they do, they'll hear a different group of songs. And there are many, many things that come from all the years in my career. You know, I sing John Riley, which I recorded in 1961, and to me it's just as fresh as then. And so I can go right through the repertoire, from Sending the Clowns to Albatross to The Blizzard that I wrote, and right around to Both Sides Now. So it's a very exciting show, and I have to get ready for it, so I'm going to have to go.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Yes, it was absolutely great having you, and
I hope to
see you.
It's a pleasure. I hope to come and have you come and see the show.
Okay, great.
Take good care,
Thanks
honey.
Thanks a lot, Judy.
Bye.
Bye. Yes, and ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, as I said, she's appearing at the Carlisle Hotel, at the Carlisle Cafe. And I guess you can, it's in Manhattan, but, you know, check, you know, Google her name. You'll find out, you know, where she's touring. And in the meantime, let's hear, like, one of her songs. This is When I'm 64.
When I get older, losing my hair, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I've been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
right. That was Judy Collins, I guess, yes, because she's, well, she's past 64, so that's why she said at the end 84. I think I have, do I have Jen on here now? Jen, are you there? Let's see. Jen?
Can you hear me?
Ah, Jen. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, exactly.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, and I love that song, Send in the Clouds. So I have heard of it, and I've heard of Judy Collins, and I am obviously a little bit younger than both of you, but...
that's good to know that people, you know, younger than me know who I'm talking about.
Right.
but anyway, that was some... I would say performance,
yeah.
But on American Gladiator, oh my goodness gracious! But you know, it's interesting. It's to see that at the end. At the end, it's like you gave it that New York Sharks effort.
Well, you know, I think the thing is for the Sharks watching the show. You know, they all know me pretty well, and they've seen me collapse a number of times on the football field from exhaustion, so it's just kind of the thing that I do. I give, you know, 110%. I give everything I have, even when, you know, I don't think I have anything anymore. you know, so I know that they weren't surprised, and those people that are close to me weren't surprised either. So if anything, I think they would have been surprised I didn't do better than I did, but... you know, under the circumstances and what I had at the time, I just gave everything I could. So,
So tell us, I mean, how did this all even come about that you decided to do this?
Well, the funny story is that I actually wanted to go on Deal or No Deal because, you know, that seems like a pretty easy way to make some money and pay off some student loans. But what I did was I went on NBC.com. to find out if Deal or No Deal was having an open casting call. And I saw that they were bringing back American Gladiators. Now, you know, being a huge athlete, I thought, well, this is totally a show for me. I got to go. They had an open casting call. So I went, and they called me a couple days later and said, all right, we want you to come to NBC Studios in New York. I went there, and, you know, they interviewed all of us on film, whoever was invited to the call back. And then they said, all right, now you got to make – this video, which I reluctantly did, and I didn't hear anything for 2 months, and so I kind of wrote it off.
Wow.
And then they called me and said, all right, well, we're going to let you know if we want you to get on a flight in 2 days.
Oh, goodness.
for 10 days, and I'm like, all right, you know, and so it all happened so fast, and, you know, they flew me out there, and they were still, at that point, narrowing down the contestants. I guess there was probably about 20 people from out of town, and there were some local people, and then they sent me home for the holidays and said, all right, we want you, come back, and that was the story.
Wow. Did you, I guess you didn't know exactly what challenges that you would have, but you knew, like, the typical kind of challenges that are done, right?
Well, you know, I obviously, like a lot of people, had watched the original episodes back between the 80s and the 90s.
Right.
And, you know, I loved the stuff. I mean, they actually had literal football events. Like, they had events where you would, you know, grab a football and run with it.
Wow.
But that was just that wasn't one of their main events. But, you know, some of the things that they had that I loved were the joust and the gauntlet and of course, the powerball. I mean, the gauntlet and the powerball are clearly football skills.
Right.
You know, so I knew, you know, a lot of those events would be back, and I specifically went because I was excited. I knew as, you know, a football player that I would do really well in powerball and gauntlet. Well, the trick was, you see, there was 9 events they had this to go around, and they only had you do 5, only 4 of which were on TV. Well, I didn't get the opportunity to do powerball, gauntlet, or joust. And I was, needless to say, very, very upset about that. But, you know, no matter how much I protested, you know, their response was, well, it's random, you know. So
yeah, okay.
you know, unfortunately, yeah. I didn't get to do those events. I did, thankfully, still get some points anyway. But
I was glad. Yeah, I was glad about that. But what I'm saying, but knowing like the type of events, did you like train yourself or somehow for those kind of things beforehand, or could you?
Not really. You know, we had an opportunity to at least try everything. Not everything, but most of the things that we did. We had an opportunity to try, not necessarily the actual event, but something that was like a makeshift thing, because they were still building the set, as, you know, as right before we did everything. You know, I think they had moved it up because of the writer strike, but... you know, we had an opportunity to try most things, but before getting there, I mean, and not knowing exactly what would happen, you know, I didn't really train specifically for any particular event, other than the fact that I did run out real quick and try some rock climbing, because I knew they had the wall, and I am terrified of heights.
Oh, no.
I'm actually afraid of heights and speed, which is why I don't like roller coasters.
Oh,
but
God.
As you can imagine, if you saw the Eliminator and, you know, even just myself, you know, I had to do the best I could. And I tried the wall. That was my first event. And I didn't get any points, but thankfully Christine didn't get any points either. So
yeah, right.
After that event, I was still on pretty solid ground, so...
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it looked like, at, you know, at the end you were both totally exhausted.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you some questions. I don't know whether, you know, like you're allowed, you know, to ask, but, like, there's some things I'm curious. Like, can you tell me, like, how long you were actually out there, that you stayed this whole thing?
Well, we did have to sign a very, very, very lengthy contract. So... You know, there are certain things I can't say, but what I will say to you is, I know some people have asked me after watching the show, they've said, well, you know, you had all this energy, and then right before the Eliminator, you're like, oh, I'm sick, I've been in the water too much. And, you know, the question that everyone thinks about is, well, it couldn't have been that long from, you know, the first event you did to the time that you ran the Eliminator. How did you get so sick? What I will say...
Yeah.
The portrayal is that it happened in one night, okay?
Right.
All I will say is that there was enough time for me to get sick from the time that we started filming to the time that I actually performed the Eliminator.
Wow.
And I did perform the Eliminator at a very late hour in the morning, and, you know, because they had to get everything in, so...
Right.
So, I mean, there was enough time for me to get sick. I tried to do the whole airborne thing, but it didn't work. So,
oh, okay. Yeah, because Christine, right? Is that the one you were doing it with? Is that her
Christine.
Name? Yeah, I mean, she looked just about as exhausted as you did. You know, it's not like, you know, it's like, you know, both of them looked like, what happened? All the energy, but
you know, I don't know if I'm actually supposed to say this, but I don't see how it's actually really going to hurt anything. I will tell you that Christine was throwing up afterwards.
Oh my God!
She was. I mean, it's really exhausting. You know, and you know whether you're sick or not, it's exhausting. I mean, there were some contestants that were in insane shape, and they made it look, you know, easy. But you see how badly everybody struggled on the Travelator. And, you know, not for nothing, I know that some of my teammates get frustrated with me when I talk about age, but Christine was 7 years, she is 7 years younger than me.
Wow.
You know, so for whatever that's worth. But, you know, I mean, she was a great competitor too. And the thing is, I mean, she's only 5'4", 117 pounds, but... You know, you saw her on the earthquake with Crush. I mean, I'll tell you, Christine is a lot stronger than her size, and she does have a lot of heart.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I give props to all of us that went through this because, you know, it was a lot harder than it looks on TV, not just because of the actual events, but because of the preparation and everything that went behind the actual filming of it. And, you know, it was very trying. It was trying for a lot of us. And like I said, there are some people there that you saw, they blew through the Eliminator. And, I mean, I'm impressed by everyone was there, that was there, but those people even more so.
Right.
You know, you got to give it to them. They were amazing. You know.
But this must have been some experience for you.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Sure.
You know, I wouldn't change it for anything. I mean, the one thing that I always say about this particular experience that at first it was I couldn't even deal with it, but now it just kind of bummed me out, the fact that I really didn't get to do any of the football events.
Yeah.
You know, as a football player, here's your chance on national TV to show what your skills are, and I never got that chance.
Well, at least we got to see that footage in the beginning. At least we got
right,
to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that's the greatest thing. You know, I mean, one of the main reasons I did this, there's several reasons. One, because I thought it would be so exciting, you know, but I knew for sure that, you know, one of the things I wanted to do was get the New York Sharks name out there. I mean, we've been plugging away, you know, year after year to try and get our name out there, and I was hopeful that, you know, they would say New York Sharks.
Right.
You know, because they were so hesitant about any logos and everything, and I'm just really glad that they mentioned the name, aside from just showing the footage. So
yeah.
Cool.
And I just want to ask you about that the thing with the step on the head, the kick in the head thing.
Yeah.
I've been reading the blogs.
Yeah, the blogs. I don't know. Actually, some of them are pretty rough. I try not to read the blogs because they're brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I got to get the extra spare tire out of there. I love how, I mean, TV does add pounds, but yeah, I mean, I looked pretty rough on TV. But as far as the step goes, you know, Crush is first of all, she's a professional. I'm not sure if it's a kickboxer or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
What she did was instinct. I certainly wasn't mad, but this is a competition. And
right.
She stepped, it was actually on my cheek. I know on the replay, look, she might have stepped on my head, on the top of my head first. I don't remember that part.
Right.
But I know that she stepped on my cheek because I had ice on my cheek after that.
Wow.
And whether you want to call it a kick or a step, I don't really care. But the point is, this is a competition. And when she did that, I had to play it up because I needed the points. Because what she did was illegal, whether it was a step or a kick.
Right.
Like I said, I'm not mad at her. It was instinct.
Right.
You know, she really didn't hurt me. It was more just, I mean, are you kidding me? You know, because they're so worried about safety. And the thing was, you can't, you know, can't kick or punch anyone, and certainly not to the face. I mean, that was part of the rules. So.
Well, it's a good thing you're a lawyer, huh?
Not only that, I know people were making comments about being a lawyer, but I'm a wide receiver, and
yeah.
I know how to complain about stuff like that. So,
right, right, that's,
you know,
right.
Take it from T.O., I've learned to look for the flags, you know, where's the flag?
Yeah.
And I know my teammates know that. That's my signature. If I think, you know, I'm getting past interference, I'm going to complain about it. So.
Yeah. Now, what I want to go into, I mean, I'll probably get back to this a little while later, but because we're going to be having, you know, guys on from the National Jewish Sports Hall of Fame and Museum.
Right.
And so I want to get into that, but I just want to see, by the way, who is actually, someone is on the line. Let's
okay.
see. Who's on the line over here?
Oh, I'm on the line.
Oh, who's that? Who that?
That's Alan Friedman.
Oh,
hey,
okay. So let's, because I don't see a phone number coming up. That's why I couldn't tell who it was. Let's get into this. What this is, well, you haven't even seen it yet, Jen, your own exhibit.
No,
unfortunately, on Sunday.
With all the craziness, I haven't had a chance to go out there, and I'm very excited to see it, and I'm very honored. You know, that Mr. Friedman and the Hall of Fame has, you know, put me as an exhibit in there. I'm very excited.
Yes, Matt. Yeah, because those of you listening, Jen is the only female football player that's featured there. Well, that's featured there. That's there at all. And. And so let's go into what's going on Sunday. Alan, tell us all about what's happening on Sunday.
Sure. We're having a panel discussion, and Jen is part of that. We're going to talk about Jews in football. Let me just give a little background.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want to hear, too.
Right. People may say, what's the importance of that? If you think back to the movie Airplane, and there's a scene where there's this young couple, and I think it's the young woman asks for some light reading material, and the flight attendant comes back with the smallest pamphlet that was ever written. It's called Jewish Sports Legends. That's the type of thing that we're talking about. And when you think about football players, you're going to say, well, you know, Jewish and football are an oxymoron. And then, you know, with Jen on the phone here, you can say a Jewish, female Jewish football player.
That's a real oxymoron.
That's a real oxymoron. So we're trying to show people that there's no reason that you should prejudge anybody by their gender, by their size, and in our case, particularly by their religion, that they can't participate in sports. And then it has the second part for us is we particularly want to show kids, you know, we were focusing on Jewish kids, but saying, you know, go ahead, you want to participate in sports, don't let anybody stop you. You may not be good in the sport, that's a different story. So we thought that it would be a great thing, particularly since this is the one Sunday where there is no football on TV, that people may want to hear. We have Jen, we have a couple of gentlemen by the name of Bob Stein and John Frank, who played in the NFL, and they'll talk about their, you know, specific experiences playing football. And Jerry Eskenazi will be talking about it from the writer's perspective. And, you know, we're hoping to get a nice turnout, but this is, as you said, out at the Suffolk Y, which is the home of the National Jewish Sports Hall of Fame and Museum.
Why do you think this thing, the joke, so to speak, why do you think people think that Jews don't play sports?
That's a good question, Merle. I think, and I hate to say it, I think probably even myself at one time or another, you know, we'll think of a religious group or an ethnic group and we'll be quick to make that stereotype and make a joke. And having done this for 15, 16 years, it's made me stop and think. And when we go out and we talk to groups, I'm hoping that, you know, we're just giving them the chance to pause and say, you know, don't be so quick to say, hey, you know, Jews can't be athletes. We're just really trying to show that everybody can do whatever it is, and sports being such an important part of American life, you know, we wanna participate, we wanna get involved. We're not saying necessarily everybody's gonna be a professional, but you can do it. I know Jen is doing this, she's a lawyer, she's playing football because she loves it, she wants to continue to do that. And we find men and women at all ages and all levels of sport are doing it because of the love of sport. And we just think it's an important thing. You know, I pick up the paper or I see something on the news and there's steroids and human growth hormone and people cheating and doing things. And, you know, we're hoping this will also show that there's some good things that are going on in sport. And just football is so big. You know, I don't know the statistics, but I've got to believe it's probably surpassed baseball as the so-called American pastime. And I just think that, you know, people are so enamored of watching football and going to football games or playing football that it's just a great way to show, hey, yeah, you know, my own son plays football. And I've thought I've kind of taught my mom and my family, but I still heard the things about, you know, he shouldn't play football. It's a dangerous game. And you know, it's maybe more dangerous for the kids he goes up against because he's 6'3" and 225 pounds.
Awesome.
You know, but it's just something that we grew up, my mom, I'm the youngest of three, and my mom didn't want us playing football, and, you know, I left. We went out and we played soccer, and I said, you know, Mom, those guys, and, you know, in this case, Jen, they're going out with helmets and pads. We went out in our underwear with, you know, nothing on, basically. So, you know?
Yeah.
In which way, it's a great game. We want people to see that, you know, people are participating in it at all levels. So we have the high schoolers, the college. We have high school and college athletes. And, of course, we have our inductees who might be professional or they might be just doing it at the amateur level. But it's a big part of what we do every day, and we watch and we participate. And it's just, to get back to your question, it's just really – something that's a big part of American society, and we just say, listen, you know, Well, Jews are participating. They're playing. They're managing. They're broadcasters. They're owners, just like everybody else.
Right.
And you know, give people the opportunity, and that's really what we're saying. Don't prejudge. And I think hopefully, you know, with Sunday's program and with the other things we do, the inductions and talking at various groups and having people come out, they just stop and think before they make that quick joke, you know, and they'll say, you know, hey, you know, Jen Blum, you know, she's a woman. She can't play football. Or, you know, whatever jokes they make about lawyers. I'm married to a lawyer. And, you know, it's a family
I'm like
of
a
lawyers.
I'm a walking joke all around.
Right. And, you know, at times you may say, hey, it's funny. But after a while, you know, you're kind of like, you know, wait a second. You know, that's, you know, look at the person. Don't look at, you know, this type of thing and say, you know, I'm a female athlete, you know, and everybody's now going to have some preconceived notion. Well, you know, she must be real butch or whatever, you know.
Right.
Hold on a second. That's not the case.
Yeah.
So it there's a lot of things that we all rush to judge, and we're just hoping that people will stop, you know, take a moment and look back and say, wait a second, you know, I didn't know there was a Jen Blum. Or, you know, even in the playoffs last week, you had a guy that was playing the defensive line for the Chargers, Igor Olshansky, 6'7", 315 pounds. I didn't know Jewish guys got that big, you know. you know, but it's like, don't you know, make judgments like that. Of course, maybe the most famous person, and we've had him at my Y a number of times, is Jay Fiedler, who just retired recently. But there are linemen, there are quarterbacks, every position. You know, Jen's a wide receiver. It gets a little crazy after a while when people are so quick to judge. And, you know, we're hoping the people that come on Sunday will see and will hear, and they'll come out and they'll say, gee, you know, that was interesting. I learned something. I didn't realize it. And by the way, here's a woman who's not only college educated, but she's got a graduate degree. I'm proud to say she actually went to the same law school as my wife, Western New England in Springfield, you know, and she does that. That's her livelihood, but, you know, she plays football because she loves the sport.
Yeah, that's, and like when you first heard that, you know, we had a female football player, what was your reaction, Alan?
I can't say I was surprised. I was glad to see that. I didn't know after I had spoken to you, I looked up and because I didn't know anything about the Sharks, and I was glad to see that. It's always interesting for me to see that there are sports that I'm not necessarily familiar with. You know, I grew up in Westchester. I didn't know anything about lacrosse until I moved to Long Island. But seeing that there was women's football like this, I said, great, you know, it's a nice thing to see. And I hope that, you know, the league certainly does well, and then you guys have lots of success, but it was an eye-opener for me, you know, and I think my initial thought was, gee, you know, what type of response do you get? Is this something that's doing well? Because, you know, you look back a couple of years ago and look what happened with the women's soccer, and soccer being such a popular sport with girls and women, that you would suspect that that would do very well, and they had so much trouble with their women's, you know, with the WUSA.
Right.
So, you know, I'm hoping it succeeds. I hope you guys do very well. I'd love to see the league flourish and the Sharks do well. And, you know, I don't know enough about it, but I'd love to see whatever championships and all that you guys do very well. And I say the guys because I grew up, and that's male and female. I'm not trying to be sexist, even though my wife would probably say I am. But, but you know, it just got me to do a little bit more research. And that's what this is all about. As far as we're concerned, just get people to start looking at things differently, thinking a little differently, and say, women's football, what's that all about?
Well, to get an idea, like, Jen, when you started, like, did you start playing flag football?
Well, I played tackle when I was a little girl in the schoolyard, you know, and I've played tackle with my friends in college, you know, just without the pads, but, you know, I did play flag for quite some time before I played with the Sharks.
Okay.
You know, because that was really the only place to competitively play any kind of football for women before these leagues started up and before the Sharks had their inaugural game. So it was, you know, it wasn't for me, it was fun. I mean, it was still football, but I wanted to, you know, I was always more offensive. So to say I wanted to tackle someone would be wrong, but, you know, when you're playing tackle football, it's one thing if someone catches up to you and pulls your flag, but if they try and tackle you and you break through their tackle, you know, there's something really awesome about that that you don't get in flag football.
Right.
So, you know, I always felt that there was a little something missing, although I did enjoy flag, but, you know, I was ecstatic when they had started the women's tackle league.
Somebody's on the line. Who's on the line?
Hello, it's Tonka.
Oh, it's Tonka.
Hey. Hello, my gladiator shark.
What's going on, Tonka?
Hey, team, baby. What's going on? I'm at work right now in Manhattan, so excuse the noise. I'm sorry. It's a little noisy.
You work in the corner?
Oh, shit. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, Merle. I'm sorry.
You're allowed to say shit on this, on the internet. It's okay.
Oh, this is nice. This is like Sirius radio satellite radio.
Don't encourage her.
No, that's
no,
right.
Then stop it. You know my mouth is okay, girl. Hey. Teammate, I was so proud of you. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
I'm glad,
so
I'm glad you won. I'm glad you
Thank
won.
You.
And I got a question.
Okay.
I just want to know, the adrenaline that you had doing American Gladiator, do you have it the same as playing football?
Wow. Okay, there is no experience in the world like I went through at American Gladiator. When I started first seeing the commercials and they would say contender ready, it just from the commercials, I would still get heart palpitations. It's a different type of adrenaline. It's more like fear. So the football field, I'm never afraid. I know what I'm doing. I know my skills. I know what I can do, but when you're put in a situation where you know you're going to be on national TV and you have these women who are on steroids and...
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Well, I mean, I never saw them take steroids, but I'm just saying, they're big women.
Yeah, they look like it, though.
And you know that they're trying to kill you and you're doing events that you haven't practiced for like you do practice for football and you don't want to make an idiot out of yourself on national TV. And you're just, when they say contender ready, you're never really ready. And it's like this adrenaline of fear.
Wow.
I mean, it's not, it's fear in the sense that, you know, you're not prepared. You know what I'm saying? Like when I play football, I feel prepared. My coaches get me prepared. My team,
right,
you know, is prepared. We have practice. We know what we're doing. And your abilities just take over.
Right.
But, you know, it's just that I can never explain that feeling that I had every time they said contender ready.
Contender ready.
Right.
And in response to something Merle asked me earlier, unfortunately, it is a TV show, so they have to worry about, are the cameras ready? Are they in the right place? And I might go to be prepared for an event and stand there for an hour before I actually do anything. So you never know when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they don't tell you, hey, you got 5 minutes. All of a sudden, they just say, contender ready. And you're like, what? Are you kidding me? I have to stretch. I'm not, you know. So I guess, like I said, the response to your question is it's a different type of adrenaline. And although it's exciting, it's probably a lot of fear and oh my god, am I really going right now, you know?
Very nice. would you do it again?
Heck yeah, especially if I got a chance to do, like I said, Powerball, Gauntlet, or Joust.
Very nice.
I would do it in a heartbeat. I'm really excited, so
very cool. Well, I just want you to know I thought when I saw you and you looked like you was going to give out when you ran out of gas, I said, nah, she's not going to give up. And I said, you see, always a shark going to find a way to finish.
That's
and
right.
Sure enough, you got up that damn, what would they call that thing? You had to walk up the thing like an escalator?
They call it the travelator.
Oh, my gosh. And you pulled yourself up over that damn thing. I was like, you see, that's what a real shark is made of right there.
That's right. I did that for my teammates.
And damn sure, and you won the dance, and you beat her. That's more important.
That's right.
Okay, and you beat her. You got across it, and you beat her. The time thing, who cares? But that thing, I would have just been running over everything. I wouldn't have been doing nothing. I would have just run to the side and said, okay, give me five more minutes for that. And run to the other side, give me five more minutes. But you look good out there, teammate. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you so much.
And you gave us some excellent recognition, because, man, oh, man, I was listening to that gentleman, Alan, speak about how, you know, the Women's Soccer League is
right.
not in existence. And you know what? I think just by all the perseverance and the hard work from Merle and all the other women such as yourself, once upon a time me, but, you know, we're driven and we're still here, thank goodness. We are still here.
That's
and we're
right.
still managing. And one of these days, somebody's going to wake up and smell a coffee and say, you know what? These girls got something good here. Let's jump on board. And it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So, but listen, I want to wish you all the best. I will see
you
all at some games.
And
once a shark, always a shark. Merle, you're the best. Keep doing what you're doing. And I want everybody to know it's Sharks 5-1 all day, every day, infinity. And I have to go back to work now. I love you all. I'll talk to you all later.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Of course, we never talked about who Tonka is, by the way. For those listening, Jen, tell us who Tonka is.
Oh, Tonka's a legend. We call her Tonka because she's, I'm not sure if I'm going to get this right, but I guess she's about, what, 6'2", 275 pounds?
Oh.
Is that right?
I think
she,
so, yeah.
She's Tonka,
and,
like
and
truck.
She's lost weight since.
Right, but she,
yeah.
You know, even at that weight many years ago when she was, I think she played both offense and defense, but she would, man, whew, if she hit you, you were in for a world of hurt. And actually, you asked me about flag football. I played flag football against Tonka at one point, and
wow.
Like a moron, I thought I could go through her. And so I ran into her instead of around her and literally went flying backwards 10 yards. So she's a beast, and having her on that team is awesome. You know, I wish she would still play, but
isn't she on...
at some point everyone decides it's time
for
them.
She's on the Sharks website still, right? Isn't like because she was on Regis and at the time it was Regis and Kelly.
Yep. She,
I mean, Regis and
not
Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she was on there. She did a great job. So.
Yeah, but okay. Anyway, that was great that she called in, huh?
Yeah, she's pretty great.
What a hoot. Okay. Anyway, back to you, Alan.
Okay, that was interesting. 6'2", 275. Wow.
She's a big woman, and she's a great player. Great player too.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for Barry to call in. He hasn't called in.
Oh, it's funny.
Yet.
When I spoke to him earlier, Merle's referring to Barry Landers, who's been with us from the start, and he's the moderator for Sunday's program. He was in the city, and he said he was going to have to pop out of the restaurant. Knowing Barry, he probably forgot. I love him dearly, but anyway.
Okay.
Well, life's busy sometimes, you know.
It's
hard.
So, Alan, also tell us, like, some other people other than the football players that
who are in the Hall of Fame.
That's in the Hall of Fame, yeah.
There are the big names that people would recognize, Sandy Koufax and Hank Greenberg and Dolph Shays. But what's been most interesting for me are the men and women who people really don't know about. Two come to mind, and both happen to be women. One of them was a track star from the 1930s by the name of Margaret Lambert, and we found about her. Marty Glickman had gone back to Germany as a guest of the Maras. The Giants were playing a preseason game and it was the same stadium where Marty didn't get to compete in Berlin, and Margaret actually contacted, at the time he was a Newsday columnist, Steve Jacobson, because Marty had written that Steve had written that Marty and Sam Stoller, the two Americans, weren't allowed to compete, and they were the only Jews that this happened to. Margaret writes him back, and at that time she was in her early 80s, said, excuse me, but you've got it wrong. And over the years, I've just come to admire her amazing story. She's been written up. The Holocaust Museum did a book about her. HBO had a special about her. and there's another woman by the name of Ariel Gilbert. Nobody would know who she is. She was a nurse, and she came home one day from her shift at the hospital where she worked. She put some drops in her eyes, and it turned out someone had tampered with the drops, and she lost her sight. And as opposed to saying, that's it, my life is over, she took up rowing. She had somebody in the boat with her, and she became a world-class disabled rower.
Wow.
And these two
awesome.
People showed me, and I think the whole community that's heard their stories, that, again, not only are they Jewish, they're women. And Margaret, if you think about it, this is a woman who's 93 now. Now, Jen, relatively speaking, is a young woman, and it's even though we may not see too many women who play tackle football, it's a little bit more acceptable in this day and age. Margaret was a jock when women didn't do that. You're talking about the 20s and 30s, and she said basically whatever sport she took up, she was good at. She was the German high jump champion. She had a chance. She had actually done the same height that won a bronze medal at the 36 Olympics. When she came to this country, when they fled Germany, she actually won shot put competitions, U.S. competitions. So it just shows us that, again, people can do things in areas you don't expect.
Right.
Helene Hines, I don't mean to focus on women, but these are the three that come to mind. Helene is a woman, Long Islander, and she used to run the New York and Boston marathons. She found she couldn't run after a while. She had a battery of tests done. She saw doctors. She had developed MS, and she decided she still wanted to participate in these events, and when she couldn't run, she'd walk them. Then she couldn't walk anymore, and they have arm cycles where you're in a recumbent position, and she would use her arms when she couldn't use her legs. She's wound up winning New York and Boston multiple times, and the most upbeat person I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. And she works with people at the Oceanside Y who have MS, and she just won't let things get her down. I've done talks with her, and it boggles my mind. I'll get up and I'll complain about this ache or pain, and I stop and think about this woman or Ariel, and it's like you don't realize really until you look at somebody like that and say, you know what, I can do my stuff, and what's a little ache in my back or my shoulder compared to what these people do, and they go on and they don't complain. Those three are just great examples. There are many others. Not all of them, as I said earlier, are doing their thing in the public eye. They may be fencers or judo competitors, whatever it is, and that's what we're trying to show. I always have somebody on my committee that brings up the name of Goldberg the wrestler. And Jen may know this. Maybe you know this, Merle. This guy was a very good football player. He played. He was all SEC. I don't remember what he played on the line at Georgia. And he actually had, I believe it was about 2 years, playing with the Falcons. So he, even though people may say whatever about professional wrestling, he still is a professional caliber football player. And
awesome.
If you've ever seen him, he's a big boy. I wouldn't mess with him regardless of what people say about wrestling. So,
yeah.
You know, all sports, which is the nice thing. We're always seeing people. You don't necessarily know the names. And when you had contacted us, I said, look at this, a Jewish woman football player. I'm hoping someday maybe I won't have to say things like that. Why do we have to say woman? Why do we have to say Jewish? Just say football player.
Right.
You know, if that's what you say, I love the sport, I want to play it. And, you know, that makes me feel good because I know how I felt about sports when I was playing, and it was a great outlet. You know, I used to tell people I didn't care. I just liked to kick things, whether it was the ball or the person. I would go out there, and I wouldn't get in trouble because I took out all my whatever stress, frustration on that poor soccer ball or whoever was in my way. You know, because I was like Jen. My philosophy was like that of Larry Zonka. You're in my way. I'm going to try and run through you. Didn't always work, but, you know.
Right.
Coach yeah. used to look at me,
but
and it's
could
like,
try.
You know, it's Meshuggah, but.
Yeah.
You know, that was the quickest way, I always thought. But, you know, that's what it is. And we're just trying to hook people into the center and let them see, whether it's our center or any other place in the country, say, look at this. Look what you can do with sports. Most of the people that we have honored have not made their profession through sports. They have become very successful businessmen, doctors, lawyers, scientists. There's a great Olympic swimmer by the name of Marilyn Romanowski. People aren't going to know who she is, but it was, what, the 64 Olympics. She got a bronze medal in swimming. She's a PhD in zoology out west. Lovely woman. Very intelligent, a brilliant scientist. Also happened to be a great swimmer. And she was so thrilled when we brought her out to the Y for her induction. And she's like, you know, my grandchildren don't look at grandma's being an athlete. This is a part of my life that, you know, I'm happy to show them.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, grandma, wow, you were this great a swimmer. And she says, yeah, I actually was. You know? So someday, Jen, you'll be able to say, look, you know, grandma was a football player or whatever.
Yeah, right.
You know, I don't mean to age you there, but that, you know, that's
I'm getting close.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I think I got a couple of years on you. But
yeah, well, you know, a couple of years of football will make
yeah,
you, like,
I can imagine.
A lot.
I can imagine, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I take my hat or my helmet off to you because I admire people who follow their dream like that. And that was something Jay Fiedler had said, because people were always trying to discourage him. I use that as an example, Merle, because it's football. But he said, look, I'm an Ivy League quarterback. So how many Ivy League players are in pro football? And I'm a Jewish quarterback. And they were trying to discourage him. They thought they were doing him a favor. And, you know, he was at Hofstra and he was working, I think it was with Al Groh at the time. And they're like, Jay, you're a bright boy. You're an engineering, you know, major from Dartmouth, whatever. Give up the football. And he said that just egged him on. It's like, I'm going to show you. And he said this. We interviewed him and he said to the kids, don't give up your dream. Don't give it up no matter what people tell you. And he persevered. You know, and it was an amazing thing to see this kid. I've known him since he was 16. See what he did, and he just kept going and going. And he may not have been the prettiest guy out on the field, but you know what? The Dolphins had a great winning percentage when he was their quarterback. Look at him now. That's a whole other story, but, you know.
They definitely
and that's,
him back.
yeah, exactly. But that's what we're trying to show.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to show also. It's like you love the sport, and as – you know, Tonka said earlier, you know, the sport hopefully is going to take off. And, you know, I give you 100%, you know, and, you know, I'd love to see that because I think it's a great thing. And, you know, whatever we can do to help out in terms of letting people know, because, as I said, it's just, it's an important part of what people do. It's a part of their lives. And, you know, just go out and do it, whatever it happens to be, soccer, lacrosse, football in this case.
Sure.
You know,
well,
we do that all the time at the Y, people of all ages, and it's great. You know, it's just a regular part of what they do.
Right. Well, one of the things that we, well, the Sharks, that we're doing is a program called the JPD. Jen, tell us about the JPD.
Well, the JPD is a program, I don't know the specifics about it in NFL, but it's been around for a while. It's junior player development, and I know that they've had it where I guess the pro football players have been running programs for young men. I'm sure they haven't been allowed to exclude women, but it's been essentially for young men. Just recently, specifically last year, the NFL finally paid attention to the Sharks and said, all right, well, we're going to have you guys run the first ever JPD program solely for girls, run entirely by professional women football players. So last year, for the first time, the Sharks ran a program solely for girls at Giant Stadium. And there was I unfortunately was not coaching there at the time because I had another commitment, but I understand there was a ton of girls that showed up, and it was a great success, so much so that the NFL has agreed to it as an annual thing, and we're going to be having it again this year. Merle, I don't know. Is it in February? Do you know?
Yeah, it's the end of February, actually. Yeah, and it's for girls between the ages of 13 and 17, I think.
Right.
Because there is no feeder system, and it's like 2 days, I believe.
Yes.
It's two full days, yeah.
And I imagine if you direct people to the website, NewYorkSharksFootball.com.
NY Sharks.
Yeah,
football.com. Yeah. You can.
I'm sure that there's plenty of information on there for any girls to sign up.
And by the way, I just want to let the listeners know this is not something that's just open to girls in the New York metropolitan area. This is like if you get there, if you can make it there, you could football anywhere.
Yeah. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Yeah.
That's appropriate.
Yeah. You could football anywhere. Yeah. Yeah. It's because I think last year there was a bunch of kids that from Maine that came in.
That's
you know, so it's not we're hoping, of course, if the more 17-year-olds come that are in the New York area, that we can turn around and say, oh, good, next year you play for the Sharks
when
you're 18. But that's not our goal. The goal is to teach the girls. But it's not just that they're learning football. This is the whole thing, feeling about themselves when they get done to realize that they can do this. They can do anything they want.
Great.
Just in relation to what we're talking about, the girls, you know, at that age, the high school age, I remember years ago before I started playing football or, you know, even when I was in high school, I remember that one or two girls around the country that sued in order to play on the high school team. That was it. There was one or two girls playing high school football around the country. And I think it was within the last 5 years or so that I read a blurb in, I don't know if it was a magazine, whatever it was, about how there's well over 1,000 girls, and this could have even been 5 years ago, but well over 1,000 girls playing high school football, you know, at the high school level at this point. And, I mean, to see such a big jump, and, you know, part of that has to do with opening up people's eyes, and but you know, Alan's been talking about all along, get the word out there. You know, when girls see that there is a place for them to play, and they have programs like the JV, and the NFL is paying attention. They have the New York Sharks and all these other teams. It makes it more acceptable, or it gives the girls a role model, just like you always hear that the guys have to have a role model.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the girls see that I can play, you know, and that all these other girls are playing, and there's nothing wrong with the fact that I'm obsessed about football. It's perfectly normal, you know, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's great stuff. I got to ask you this, and I figured I could ask you before I see you on Sunday. What did your parents have to say when this all started?
Football?
Yeah.
Well, you have to understand, since the moment I was born, I've been doing crazy stuff. I mean, when I was 9 years old, the town I grew up in, so that I could play soccer on an all-boys soccer traveling team. By the way, that wasn't something that I had wanted. I was 9 years old. I was asked to play on this boys team. And this lawsuit became national coverage, and it was a fiasco. So, I mean, my parents are used to going out there and doing things that, you know, girls allegedly aren't supposed to do. But more specifically, my parents have always, always been supportive of everything I've done and encouraged me to do it. And, I mean, my father follows me all over the country. He's been to Canada to watch me play. He's gone to Florida and California and everywhere. I mean, don't get me wrong, my mom's supportive as well. You know, she's really supportive, but I mean, if my dad misses a game, they're proud of me, and they've always pushed me. My father has always told me, you can do and be whatever you want. And I'm so grateful that I have such accepting, positive parents that have always supported everything.
That's why
it's been so easy for me. No, I mean, there are girls, I think it's, you know, for me, it's been so. Girls that grow up in a household where they tell them, you know, don't do this, don't do this, and they do it anyway, those are the girls that are impressive. They're not only defying society, but they're, you know, their close network of people, what they really want to do. My parents have been very supportive.
That's great. I'm really happy to hear that. I wish my daughter were listening.
She's watching
TV.
So, Alan, I'm just curious, what should we kind of expect with the panel on Sunday? Like, what are people going to be asking
questions?
I
think you're going to get a lot of people that are going to ask, you know, what is it like being a woman playing football? You know, why did you get into it? Things like that. And then I think you'll see that the rest of it will just be, you know, have you experienced any anti-Semitism? What is it like, you know, when you're just out there? Because those are the type of things people have asked in the past. When we had a program about Jews in baseball recently that Barry moderated, and it was asking, did you encounter anti-Semitism at any of the different levels? You know, and Ron Bloomberg is talking about the minors as well as the pros. And Ron Mix, the great lineman, when we had him out at the Y a couple of years back, talked about it, and he said, exactly, I'm not going to get it right, but it was something to the effect of he owed his success to being Jewish. And he talked about that. So those are the type of things. You know, we're hoping to get 50-plus people. I don't know where they're going to come from. I know where Barry is going to come from. But, you know, hopefully the questions won't be too far out there. But, you know, he'll be good at controlling that. And I think it'll be a good thing. And I think he'll be giving us a different experience that because, as I said, you know, this is a part of the sport we're not used to. And I think it'll be an education for all of us. And that's what I'm always trying to stress, that, you know, we never stop learning. And I'm learning something about women's football, and not only women's football, but Jen Blum and the Sharks, and it should be a good thing. And I think, you know, you'll come away also saying, you know, I didn't realize when you go into the room where we're having the program and you start looking at the plaques, you're going to see, look at these guys, and, you know, look at the sports and what they've done, what they've accomplished. And it just hopefully will be a starting point. You know, we'll talk later on about what you were talking about here with the youth football programs, because that's key for me and all the things that we do. And I don't care whether it's a swim team or our basketball or our soccer, we got to get the kids at a young age. And I'm definitely in agreement with you. It's boys and girls, and I've never been one. I started at the Y, and the Y was started by a woman executive director, and I've never looked at that and said, you know, a woman can't do this or can't do that. I agree 100%, and I want to see the kids get involved as long as they got the proper equipment and the proper coaching, and, you know, let it be whatever we can do at our agency and elsewhere. We have the facility, and, you know, if we can get involved, great. You know, I have a tough enough time selling them on football, but what the heck, whether it's soccer or we work with other agencies, I love to see that type of thing. That, to me, is what it's all about, and things have to continue, you know, the next generation and the generation after that. I don't want to pontificate here a little bit, but that, you know, it excites me. You want to hear things like what you're saying. That's good stuff. That's really good stuff.
So,
great what you're doing.
Yeah. Alan, where exactly is the...
good question.
Yeah.
We are in beautiful downtown Commack, Long Island.
Okay.
The address is 74 Hop Hog Road. It's exit 52 on the Long Island Expressway, or exit 43 on the Northern State. And very convenient to both highways, parkways. And our phone number is 631-462-9800. If anybody wants to call, they want to, whatever it is, you know, look us up on the web for directions. But it's very easy to get to.
Oh, good. I'm glad. But I'm going to still have my have a Navigon.
Yeah, whatever that is.
I'm going to put that on just
put
in case.
Put it on. Take the number in case you get lost. But it's very easy. We're right near the Hamlet Golf and Country Club or the Gerwin Geriatric Center. And I think you guys will be very impressed. I'll give you a tour of the facility. It's one of the largest JCCs in the country. And not just the Hall of Fame, but it's a 160,000 square foot facility. There's a lot going on. It's hopping.
So
in reference to your earlier question, my dad will be there, so you can
good.
Certainly ask
That'd
him.
Great. Maybe I will. That's a good thing. Oh, and it starts at 11 o'clock. I don't know.
A.M.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
P.M. I will be asleep.
Good. And we'll reveal the Jen's exhibit at the
yep.
time. We can't say unveil.
Correct.
For those who are not Jewish,
yes.
unveiling
good point. Yeah.
Connotes death, by the way. So
we're celebrating life.
Right.
By the way,
sports life, yes.
By the
good
way,
point.
Alan, are you aware that that Sunday is International Holocaust Day?
No.
Oh, never mind.
Oh, I did not realize.
Never.
I looked at the calendar, and the funny thing was, when I was putting this together, I have a contact at the NFL, and I asked him, this is a long time ago, I said, just tell me when the playoffs are and then when the Super Bowl is, and I figure people are going to have whatever you want to say, going cold turkey without their football.
Right.
There's also, actually, and you'll see, we have a football art exhibit. And one of the things that people are really attracted to is we have some samples. Jostens, the ring company, was very nice. They lent us 4 Super Bowl rings.
Oh, wow.
So you can actually see, and I hate to say this being a lifelong New Yorker, but 3 of them are the ones that the New England Patriots.
Oh, no.
we actually did it.
How could you?
I'll tell you very simply. We have a sample of the ring that the Green Bay Packers won for the first Super Bowl, and it looks like a typical high school ring. Nice ring with a little, it doesn't have the stone in it, but it looks like it. And we wanted to show the progression. So then you see the first ring, then the third ring, the second one, and then the third one, God forbid you drop it on your foot, you'll break it. I mean, this thing is so big. But, yeah, I'm sorry to say.
Is that the one, the first one you have? Is that the one when Brett won? Before that?
That was the one. No, this goes back to Bart Starr.
Oh, well, it was a long time ago. Okay.
Yeah, this is back before your day.
Yeah, I'm a huge Brett Favre fan.
Back when I was a little boy. But it was, we did that just so they could see. But there are paintings and there are some wild photographs, all different types of artwork. We're just trying to bring people in who might be, saying, oh, there's no football today. What am I going to do? So any which way, yeah, we're excited. And it also gives me the chance to meet you guys finally face to face.
Yeah,
and if there are any other Sharks there.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait either. I'm excited. It should be a nice day.
I'm also looking to see about getting my my uncle inducted into the Hall of Fame. My uncle was one of the Wonder Five that everybody talks about, that with the original Redmen, but now the Red Storm at St.
Yeah.
John's. And he was one of the Wonder Five, my mother's brother. And I had read something that it was the Wonder Five who actually wound up getting college basketball into Madison Square Garden. So he made a little bit of history, just like I made a little bit of history by getting the Women's Football Hall of Fame.
Well, that's I mean, when you were telling me about that, when you look back on it, I mean, that was a day, and it sounds funny, but, Jews dominated the sport of basketball, and college basketball, like you said, that was the sport. It wasn't the pro game. But we won't digress in there. But, yeah, and actually one of our inductees this year is Hy Gotkin, who was part of the St. John's. Yes, I won't say the Redmen. Again, here we go.
Yeah, right.
Stereotypes, yeah.
Yeah.
But any which way, you'll see a lot of the names, and you'll see we have a display for baseball. We have one for basketball, and, of course, Jen being part of our football one. And, we'll just continue to grow.
Yeah. Well, I'm really looking forward to this thing on Sunday. And, Jen, don't forget to bring your gear. We want to make sure that people are very clear that it's tackle football.
Okay.
You're not going to wear your heels. all right, guys. Yeah. I'm glad you called.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened. Yeah, I don't know what. Well, maybe I'll get to meet Barry there, right?
Yep.
All right, and then I'll scold him when I get there. I'll a little Jewish guilt, maybe, huh?
There you go.
I'm going to have Jen take care of him.
Okay, great. All right, I'll see you guys on Sunday.
I'll see you guys on Sunday. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to a commercial right now.
This program is brought to you by M&S Italian Food Specialists, the official caterers for the crew of Lydia's Family Table, which can be seen on PBS. M&S is located at 34-23 Francis Lewis Boulevard in Bayside, Queens. There, you'll find over 100 different types of cheeses, store-made sausages, fresh meats, as well as great salads and sandwiches. Choose fully cooked items from the deli area, or just tell Joe what you're interested in preparing. M&S carries a full line of imported groceries for all your cooking needs. Call them at 718-353-8318. A family business for over 50 years.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that was some talk, huh? Well, in the meantime, by the way, before I tell you about like next week's show, I went to see the play, the Broadway show November, starring Laurie Metcalf. Well, actually, she co-starred. Okay. But, you know, I like Laurie Metcalf. And for those who don't know, who's saying the name sounds familiar, she was she played Roseanne's sister on, you know, on the Roseanne show, you know. Well, anyway. But actually the star of the show is Nathan Lane. And for those of you who are wondering about the show, it's hysterical. It's really, really funny. And especially, I think, if you're a Democrat, and even more so if you're a little fed up with the administration right now, it is absolutely a hoot. I would highly recommend it. It's kind of about, like, and you would think it might be about Bush. I'm not sure. And his what could be his last term in office, and he's like trying to go for another term, but you know, like everybody is really sick of him, and all the things he's done. It's definitely worth seeing. There's a lot of great shows on Broadway that are worth seeing. But next week, what's going to happen next week? What's going on? I mean, this is just coincidental. They're having a Jewish Sephardic Film Festival in Manhattan, I believe, starting February 6th. I'll have to get the exact dates. And what they're focusing on? They're focusing on Italy. And of course, I thought Italy, you know, I have this expectation of, you know, all Italians are Roman Catholic, you know, but I guess not. There seems to be a number of Jewish communities all over Italy. Well, you know, the Jews got kicked out of everywhere, went to the next place, you know. But, and so that's what this festival is about. I'm going to be having, I think, the woman who runs the festival. I got two people that are going to come on just to talk about the festival itself. I was able to get a copy of one of the movies, and I think I'm going to get one other one so we could talk about that. And the other thing to continue is, as it turns out, I'm going to be going on a press trip in May. I'm going to Naples, Italy. And so that's the other thing. I also am hoping to get either, I think it's going to be the manager or general manager of one of the Italian restaurants that I recently went to. And the reason that I'm having him on is that the food at this restaurant is like if you were in Italy and you were eating Italian food versus Americanized. And I was very impressed with it. It's called Nizza or Nizza, N-I-Z-Z-A. I'm always thinking Nizza because it sounds like pizza, but it's spelled like pizza. But it means Nice, you know, N-I-C-E. And it's supposed to be like kind of Northern Italian on the border of French. But there's a lot of unusual dishes, and, you know, we'll talk about that too. And so that's what's coming up as far as next week. I have a lot of things planned
because of the products that I've been getting from the sneak preview of the houseware show, and one of them is from Breville, and it's the coffee maker. There's this whole thing now with this thing called the K-Cup, which has nothing to do with bra size. It's well, I'll explain that when we get to it. It's these, like, one-cup portions of coffee that you can make, and they're all pre-packed, et cetera. And, but rather than just focus on the K-Cup, I'm hoping to have Green Mountain Coffee as one of the coffee places that, you know, the roasting, that does their own roasting, having them call in. And we're going to talk about the subject of coffee, like coffee beans, where they're grown, how it makes a difference, how the roasting makes a difference, the tasting, and then we'll go into some of the products and some of the different coffee makers they have, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm also looking to do maybe the same thing with tea. The reason with tea is because I've always assumed, like, you know, green tea is another different tea from white tea and oolong tea, et cetera, et cetera, but it's all the same leaf. It's just how long that the leaf has been hanging out there, I guess. And so I want to get into that and the difference between what tea is and what tisane, T-I-S-A-N-E. And actually, tisane is whatever is not from a tea leaf. So we'll get into things like with herbal teas, et cetera. And so that's... that looks like I'm going to end a bit early here because also mainly because, like, I'm on a phone and I'm going to start hearing it beeping. Yeah, I have one of those, the portable phone, and I'm going to start to hear that beep, and then it'll automatically cut off, and I don't want to do that. And so I'm just going to, like, end now. Again, if you get a chance, I guess if you Google Judy Collins, and you could see, you know, where she's touring, and of course the New York Sharks, nysharksfootball.com, and I suppose if you, good thing for Google, you know, it's a good thing Google exists, you know. It's interesting. If you Google your name, but and put it in quotes, it's interesting to see, you know, what comes up there. You could be famous and not even realize. Somebody could be owing you money, honestly, you know. So, you know, enjoy. Google the name of yours. I'm going to end with my famous Dancing Queen song, because it's an in-joke, with the New York Sharks, and I'll see you next week. I'll hear you next week. I wish I could see you next week. I'll hear you next week. And this is Merle Exit with Whirl with Merle, and stay calm and laugh your ass off. No, that's not the one. Here it is.